News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And by the way, if you find yourself getting outside the range of our overly broad AM FM capability right here at WVNN, then just know this, it don't matter. Bottom line is this, we got people all over the place, all over the world, really, all over the United States, especially the Southeast United States, who literally just... they just go to their smartphones, their mobile devices, their laptops, whatever they got. Go on the internet, go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org, our website. And you can click on Listen Live. And like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. And that's why we got people all over the place that listen to us. And it just makes our audience that much, you know, cooler. I mean, we've got great flavor in terms of the people who call in. Some agree, some don't agree, but they come from all over the place. And I love that. So thank you very much. Hey, listen, breaking news. And by the way, breaking news in two ways. It's been a bad day for the Biden administration. Let me just go ahead and say it right there. Bad day for the Biden administration. So in a minute, I'm going to break down the stuff that I was starting to get into yesterday about the fact that Biden gave that angry old man speech the other day. Talked all about how, you know, if you don't believe like he believes, you're right up there with Bull Connor and Jefferson Davis. And yet, never mind the fact that he gave the eulogy for Robert Byrd, former, you know, Grand Wizard of the KKK. But he gave that speech and demanded, as the chief executive of the country, from the executive branch of government, he demanded that the legislative branch of government change its rules and allow him to pass his agenda. Okay, let me do some explaining to you, sir. This, you have separate branches of government. You don't have the luxury of changing the rules in the other branch of government. Now, I guess they could do it at his request, which is what he was technically doing, but it was also more of a demand. He was acting as if he was the leader of the Senate himself. Well, he's not in the Senate anymore. Mr. President, remember, you moved across the street, right? Well, he went over today trying to work out the votes, and he found out he's not going to get them. I mean, we kind of knew this was coming, but apparently it got very firm today. Senator Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin are both saying, we're not changing that rule. Go back to the White House. And so he did. Hat in hand, tail between his legs. He is not getting the votes he wants. And I'll tell you all about what they're trying to do, though, because it's still something out there that you got to keep your eyes on the ball, all right? But here's the other breaking news that happened right as the show was about to kick off. Literally, change of subject, but also a bad day for the Biden administration. We talk a lot on this show about the vaccine mandates. And remember, there's multiple versions of the vaccine mandates. There's the military mandate. There's the federal contractor mandate. There's the medical personnel mandate. We call that CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The CMS mandate. And then there's the OSHA mandate, we call it, which is the one that says that OSHA is going to enforce as to all private employers who have more than 100 employees. They have to either fire their people for not getting vaccinated or have them tested regularly or whatever. Anyway, the OSHA mandate and the medical mandate were both up before the Supreme Court, you may recall. At the lower court levels, those things had been taken before the lower courts, and they had been, we call it, as attorneys, we call it being enjoined. They had been enjoined, means that the court saw fit to put a preliminary injunction in place on both of those mandates, which means... no, you can't do those things until you've worked out the entire case. Why would you fire people from their jobs only to find out a year later when the case is over they never should have been fired in the first place? So in order to preserve the status quo, the lower courts enjoined both of those actions. Of course, the government appealed them, and they went forward. And the one of them actually was actually the injunction was reversed. The OSHA mandate went all the way through a three-judge panel on the Sixth Circuit, which is where they were hearing it. And the three-judge panel decided, no, we're going to go ahead and let you do that, Mr. Biden. You can go ahead and have your mandate against private employers. Well, immediately it went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court kind of surprised everybody. Very rare. Doesn't happen very often. Supreme Court of the United States, in what they called an emergency special session, agreed to hear the question of whether these injunctions should stay in place. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we got a split decision today, but it was a significant browbeating for the Biden administration. The Supreme Court today in split decisions on those two kinds of mandates, medical and OSHA. On the OSHA mandate, the Supreme Court has determined that the Biden administration cannot enforce those mandates until such time as the case has been heard on its merits, meaning that the injunction goes back in place. People don't have to lose their jobs. If you've lost your job, in my opinion, if you've lost your job because of a OSHA version of a mandate, you need to go ask your former employer and see whether or not they'll bring you back, because I'm telling you right now, it's been put on hold, and the implication is the Supreme Court is not in favor of that mandate in general, meaning if it ever gets all the way up to them on the full merits of the case, I think everybody feels much better about the case. However, the split decision is that the other version of the mandate, the medical one, well, Supreme Court determined medical personnel can be told they have to be vaccinated. So all of the firings you're seeing in the nursing and medical community, well, the Supreme Court is allowing those to go forward. Now, what I don't know, I have not seen the details. I don't know the level of dissent. I don't know whether it was a true split within each decision, like, you know, 5-4, 5-4, or whether it was overwhelming. I have not seen all those details. So coming up at 3 o'clock, we got my friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. He'll break those down for us and tell us where those things really are, tell us what the implications are, and tell us whether they threw any bones to the medical personnel and gave them reason to believe that it's not all that bad. I don't know. Maybe it left room for a medical employer to make the decision if they want to. But I suspect what's happening now is the mandate's in place for medical personnel. But you know what? On the OSHA side, Biden administration got a whooping. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Coming up, we're going to the first part of the Triple Dipper. Let's just change it all. Let's find out what it is that Kyrsten Sinema said no to today. I'll tell you all about that and tell you why you got to keep your eye on the ball, because that topic may not be going away. We'll be right back. News Talk 7070, 92.5 FM WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, Copper, I see you got those clip 2 and 5. You good to go on those? You still good? Okay, great. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Ms. Copper. So here's the deal, folks. Biden got it handed to him today. I'm looking at an article right now, and by the way, this is breaking news, so I don't have the paper in my hands. I'm going online for this one. So FoxNews.com story, Biden acknowledges his election overhaul bills may fail in the Senate. You think? So here's the thing. President Biden said Thursday he is, quote, not sure whether Democrats will be successful in the passage of legislation. This is what he said. He said, I don't know whether we can get this done, Biden said, following a meeting with lawmakers on Capitol Hill. So what happened is this. President of the United States, who spent 40 years among that caucus, went across the way to meet with them in a caucus meeting to say, hey, we got to get this done. You know, racism, oh, bad things, horrible. The world's coming to an end. And basically, the answer was, we can't get there. In fact, Biden kind of snapped at reporters when he left. He said, first of all, don't ask questions about complicated subjects like, can you get this done? I got news. That's the only question, Mr. Biden. Mr. President, the press wants to know, are you going to get your agenda passed? Don't get mad when they ask you, are you going to get your agenda passed? Because what you're trying to do is get your agenda passed. So just saying. But anyway, what happened is, and Joe Manchin standing in the way of this too, but Kyrsten Sinema is the one who has been the most vocal on this, and I let's don't confuse Kyrsten Sinema with being a conservative, because she's not, but I'm still glad she's there, because she's been one of those who's been standing in the gap on issues, because we don't have enough Republicans right there to otherwise block it by themselves. So here's a statement from Kyrsten Sinema. She said, there's no need for me to restate my longstanding support for the 60-vote threshold to pass legislation. There's no need for me to restate its role in protecting our country from wild reversals of federal policy. This week's hairy discussions about Senate rules are but a poor substitute for what I believe could have and should have been a thoughtful debate, a public debate, at any time over the past year. Outstanding comments. That could have come from, you know, the most conservative member of the Senate, but it came from a Democrat named Kyrsten Sinema, who used to be an LGBTQ activist and a Green Party candidate. And there she is, standing in the gap. So thank you, Senator Sinema. We certainly appreciate that. And so here's the thing. What's the deal, Phil? What are we talking about? What's all this? Why are you naming this part of the Triple Dipper? Let's just change it all. Because he's trying to change it all. That's why. Here's the deal. There's two parts to this discussion. Two parts, or one is President Biden adamantly and insultingly demanded in an angry shouting speech yesterday that even though he's in the executive branch now, that the legislative branch must change the rules for the way they operate. The same rules, by the way, that he used for 40 years. The same rules that have been there since time immemorial. He demanded now they be changed solely for the reason that he wants something passed, which, by the way, is the second part of the discussion. What happens if they pass these bills, this thing called the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the Freedom to Vote Act? Neat sounding names, but what are they? They are things that will destroy voting laws as we know them. Those are two bills that, if they were to pass, would centralize election processes to the federal government, not the states. They would do away with things like voter ID requirements. Those are two bills right there that would do away with any number of precautions that have been deemed necessary, especially in the wake of the irregularities of the 2020 elections. So I'm just saying, he's demanding to change the rules so that he can get his demands to change the laws of elections. Copper, clip two, let's do this. Let's just go ahead, first of all, and hear the President of the United States, a mishmash of statements he made during his angry speech yesterday, and then Copper, soon thereafter, we're going to flip to clip five. So clip two, go ahead and play clip two.
Democrats to blow up long-standing Senate filibuster rules so that his party can ram through so-called voting rights legislation. The plan would nationalize elections, and Republicans are blasting it just as a desperate ploy to help Democrats in the midterms.
Jim Crow 2.0 is about two insidious things: voter suppression and election subversion. I've been having these quiet conversations with the members of Congress for the last 2 months. I'm tired of being quiet. Today, I'm making it clear, to protect our democracy, I support changing the Senate rules, whichever way they need to be changed, to prevent a minority of senators from blocking action on voting rights. At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace?
What a puppet.
What a puppet part was not meant to be included, but it was so close in time we couldn't get it. That was Jesse Waters, what a puppet. But he went on, he got further than that. If you don't change the rules, yeah, Copper, don't mind. No worries, Copper. I liked the what a puppet part. That was actually makes me laugh. But if you don't change the rules, according to Joe Biden, not only are you not for Dr. King, you're for Bull Connor. You're for George Wallace, who stood in the door. You're for segregation. You're a racist. It was the most awful speech. He even said today that he recognizes now that his speech probably didn't help things much. You think? Who advises him? Has anyone ever looked at him and say, Mr. President, please, stop yelling. Mr. President, please, stop demanding. Mr. President, you need a new speechwriter. He was looking at a teleprompter. You can't tell me that someone didn't write that speech and go, you know what'll be cool? I'll invoke Jefferson Davis of the Confederacy, and I'll talk about Bull Connor and George Wallace. That's what I'll do. It'll be great. What an awful speech. All right, so here's the thing. It didn't work. But Kyrsten Sinema is saying she's not changing the rules. Well, she's number 51. So here's the deal. If you're not familiar, the filibuster rules in the U.S. Senate are such that you have to have 60 votes to end debate. Now, sometimes they end debate by agreement. That's fine. Sometimes there's no requirement for ending debate by means of, you know, cloture or by the 60-vote filibuster breaker. In the Senate down in Montgomery, when I was in the state Senate, we have a thing called cloture. We had to file a petition. I was on the rules committee, they called it. The rules committee would have to, if somebody was at the podium filibustering a bill, which they're allowed to do. And I saw some great filibusters. I saw some that were just worthless and boring, but I saw some that were great. But nonetheless, if it's time to end debate in Montgomery, the way we did that was the Rules Committee chairman would pass around a petition, we called it, and those of us who were on the Rules Committee, me being one, would sign our names to the petition if we agreed that it was time to stop debate. We could do that, but it wasn't worth doing unless we knew we had the votes to make it happen, because us submitting the petition was only the first part. Then you had to have a two-thirds majority of the body. We had to have 21 votes in order to kill debate. I say kill debate, stop debate. And even then, once we got the 21 votes, true debate was allowed to continue for another 20 minutes. All that to say, that's procedure. They have their own version of that in Montgomery, in D.C., I'm sorry. They have to have 60 votes. Well, right now it's a 50-50 split. And if Kyrsten Sinema, one of their own party, won't give it to them in terms of the votes, and Joe Manchin, they don't have the votes. So what is it he's trying to do? Well, clip five, Copper, go ahead and grab clip five, highlight ready for me when you're good to go. Clip five is literally Jesse Waters talking about what's in the bills that he's trying to get passed by changing the rules. Go ahead and play clip five.
I'll read it. It eliminates voter ID. Election day starts 2 weeks before election, and then you get an extra week to count the votes. So election day is actually 3 weeks. They mass mail out absentee ballot applications, makes it harder to clean up the voter rolls. And you don't even need a signature on your absentee ballot. All right. And Geraldo, here's my favorite. Hold on. This is my personal favorite. You're allowed to serve food at a polling station. Can you smell the barbecue, Geraldo? I mean, I would vote Democrat if I was so hungry.
All right, stop it there. All right, so yeah, the bottom line, there was some good natured banter going on, but he's right. I mean, these two bills they're trying to pass, one's known as the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, the other one is the Freedom to Vote Act. Those two bills, among other things, would do everything Jesse Waters just said. The other thing it would do is they would reestablish what's known as preclearance. Preclearance is something that the U.S. Supreme Court just ruled in recent years is unconstitutional. Preclearance is when the state legislature says, here's how we're handling voting laws in our state, like the Constitution says we can do. Here's how we're going to handle that in our state, says the state legislature. Oh, no, you then have to go to the U.S. Department of Justice to get preclearance to determine whether or not you're just trying to be mean and racist. Which, by the way, the laws already protect, but they're putting an extra layer of federal intervention on state policy by literally inserting, can you imagine Merrick Garland? Can you imagine Biden's Department of Justice and what it would say to Alabama or Florida or Georgia or any other state that by constitutional right decided to make amendments to its voting laws that were not otherwise illegal, but just didn't fit their preclearance desire to agenda. That's what would happen. That's what they're trying to do right now. That's why Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin standing in the gap for us on not changing the rules stops them from getting to these bills, which if they changed would change everything. And I don't say that lightly. They would change everything. Do not think for a minute that we need to let our guard down. The fact that Biden got it handed to him on a silver platter today when he went over to his old caucus and begged for their help. Do not think that the fact that he yelled at us and called us racist yesterday and it didn't work does not mean that this thing is done. More on this when I get back from the break. We're going to take a break right now. When I come back, I'll tell you a few more things that are in this, but I'll also tell you, got a story here that came off of Red State dated yesterday. Apparently Chuck Schumer is admitting why they're really up to this. Yeah, you're going to love this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, like I always say, but it's always true. And I love having this opportunity to be with you every single day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. This is a big day, y'all. We got breaking news coming out all over the place, stories that we've been covering for you in great detail here on Right Side. Some of the culminating events in these stories are happening right before our eyes. Literally, while I'm on the air, things are developing. Coming up in about 10 minutes, so we're going to have my friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. He's a constitutional law expert. He's also been involved, having filed briefs in the cases that were before the Supreme Court that we just got rulings on today. But let me do this before I jump too far forward. I'm going to finish up this segment on the issues before the U.S. Senate on voting rights and what they're trying to do and what Chuck Schumer says about them. And before I even get there, though, I see I've got a caller on line three. So, Copper, let me grab Jeff from Huntsville. Hey, Jeff, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I was kind of looking at if the Senate was run like it was supposed to be in the original Constitution without the, you know, them passing the 17th Amendment. I believe that the Republicans would be well in charge of the Senate right now.
Well, I mean, that may very well be true.
I've read about how that was one of the worst things in history when they changed that up. They added that amendment. What do you think about that, where the state legislatures select the senators like they were meant to? Instead of the people.
Yeah, and so just to get away from this real quick, to get into this real quick, the 17th Amendment is the amendment to the U.S. Constitution that says that rather than having the state legislatures pick the senators for the state, that every state shall have two elected senators, and if I'm not mistaken. So, Jeff, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that would change things a whole lot. The state legislatures right now we do have, but if you keep in mind, Alabama's a red state, but until 2010, the legislature was still controlled by Democrats, even though we were a red state in every other capacity. I think the common vote is not so bad an idea. I've never really pondered it in great detail, but I don't know that it would change where we are sitting here today. Who knows? Maybe it would have created far more of an impetus to make sure we had conservative state legislatures in place in order we could to get conservative senators. But then you still have exactly 140 people in Alabama making the decisions that affect, you know, everyone in the state instead of the people of the state picking who they want. I don't know. It's a conundrum.
Well,
Jeff,
hey, yeah, you could vote them out. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's right now, though, it is the law of the land. The 17th Amendment was duly passed by the Congress, and that's where we sit. So,
I think they passed it for their own benefit, though.
And maybe so. Yeah. Jeff, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you being in the audience. Hey, listen, Chuck Schumer, with regard to these laws they're trying to pass and change, he did that thing that you shouldn't do. He let his inside words become outside words. So why are they wanting to change all the election laws? Well, supposedly it's to protect people. It's because racism is rampant in elections. It's because surely you can't get a fair shake unless you're in a blue state, which of course is all okay. Well, just yesterday, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, speaking about changes to the voting laws, according to the article that I've got from Red State. In various states, their voting laws, he said during a recent interview, added that nearly every senator in the caucus had been lobbying Manchin and Sinema on their voting rights, including going up to them and saying, quote, "I'll lose my election if you don't allow these changes to occur." Aha! Aha! It all comes back. They're worried about losing their jobs is what the implication there is by Schumer's own statements. Well, some of the things that I didn't even cover yet, listen, if they were to ever pass those bills, the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, which, by the way, is sponsored by our own Alabama Democrat Terry Sewell. Those you do away with things like it would require nonprofit organizations to disclose the names and the private information of their donors. You know what that would do? That would say that every 501c3, why does that have to do with voting rights? Well, they're afraid that it's protecting people who are trying to, you know, be too conservative. Oh, opens the door to the cancel culture mob, in my opinion. Discourages donors from donating their money because they don't want to be harassed. It would have a devastating effect. How about this? The Supreme Court of the United States has already struck down certain provisions of preclearance. But like I said, these bills would do things like making sure that preclearance gets put back in effect. And like I said a minute ago, Biden's Department of Justice would then be deciding whether Alabama's laws were okay. It does things like the bill would use taxpayer dollars, get this, taxpayer dollars to do a 6-to-1 match for politicians, matching their contributions from smaller donations. Why do our taxpayer dollars need to help Chuck Schumer run for office? Why does Terry Sewell need my taxpayer dollars to help her run for office? We can give to who we want to give to. We don't need our tax dollars then being used by others to give to people we would never give them to. I'm just saying, folks, they can't pass these bills. Can't do it right now. Don't want them to do it ever. Just wrong. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Coming up, we got Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. Going to move into that next phase of breaking news today. Not only did Biden get it handed to him on his own efforts to call us all racist and pass voting rights legislation, the Supreme Court also said he can't mandate private businesses have vaccines or else. Matt Clark will unpack it for us. Phil Williams, we'll be right back.